All right, welcome back to The View from the Fourth Row. I am Mr. Fourth Row, and this episode, in my view, I have Chris Chavez. He is the owner and promoter of one of my local wrestling promotions in the Colorado area, Colorado Springs Wrestling. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, truly blessed.
Oh,
definitely.
Good.
How are you?
I am fine. It's turned out to be a great weekend in Colorado for some odd reason in November, so I can't complain about that.
Sure.
Yeah. So
I just got back from Texas, brother. It was about 90 degrees, so I am so glad to be back in Colorado, brother. So glad. Goodness.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about Colorado Springs Wrestling. What was the inspiration to start up that promotion? As I understand, it's just turned 1 year old.
Yes, sir. We're very happy about the 1 year anniversary. I'm even more proud of the fact that, you know, we're consistently drawing people and people are having good times at the show. The reason that we started Colorado Springs Wrestling, a big part of it, honestly, was I kind of saw it as low hanging fruit because there was zero promotion. They had in the Springs, the last one was about 6 years ago, I believe. And so the people were hungry for it. I could tell. We'd always have to drive to Denver because Joe's the one who Joe from Primo's gave me my foot in the door for Colorado wrestling and the scene and everything like that, and I just grew relationships. I used to be a referee for Nick Gosser with Lucha Libre and Laughs, and I saw them and how they ran successful organizations, and I said, hey, why not me? Why not let's do this for the city of Colorado Springs? And you know, that's a big reason why we named it as well, Colorado Springs Wrestling, because I wanted it to be for the people and I wanted it to be something that we could be proud of.
Oh, well, yeah. I can say, with me being in attendance, I can say you can definitely be proud of it. It's I haven't been at every single show since the beginning, but I've caught quite few of them in recent months, and I can say you can definitely see just the passion, the improvement, and all that kind of stuff like that with the promotion. So, and you know, it's great. So, so did you get a lot of your inspiration from, as you just mentioned, from Lucha Libre and Laughs and Primos to start your own independent promotion?
Yes. A lot of inspiration came from being in the business, you know, in Texas, and I guess, you know, one of my biggest inspirations is I saw a lot of promoters doing things the wrong way. And I always tell myself that if I was a promoter, I was going to pay my guys. I was never going to stiff anybody. If I have to go to the ATM, I have to go to the ATM, you know. And so it's always kind of put a fire under myself that, you know, to make sure that we do things the right way. Everybody gets paid. And, you know, that's a big part of it, I believe, because all of my wrestlers are happy. And so in turn, I believe it makes them want to put out a better product. Which is actually completely the secret of CSW. You know, don't let it out, but I mean, the secret of CSW is high quality wrestling. That's it. Like, that is seriously, that was some advice that I got. I took it to heart. One of the, his name was Terry Pantera. He was a referee for WCW. And he told me, he goes, you want a good promotion? You want people to come back? Have a good show. That's it. So, that's pretty much, how are running things? I kind of forgot where the question was. I hope I answered it.
Oh, no, I think you got it. So where do you get a lot of your talent from? A lot of local, or
it's Colorado Springs Wrestling is a conglomeration, because and I am truly blessed to have that and have people come down. You know, having to drive 2 hours. You know, 1 hour. You know, stuff like I get about 20% of my roster, I would say, is from the Colorado Springs area, and then everybody else comes from Denver. I have a couple people that come from, Greeley? But I would say, you know, another key to success with Colorado Springs Wrestling has been the collaboration with Rocky Mountain Pro and with Primos. I have a great relationship with Joe and with Matt. And honestly, you know, if it wasn't for Matt and his people and his training coming down, we wouldn't have the quality wrestling. And I'm talking, you know, Curtis Cole, we're talking to Naya, Sugar Free was there. You know, all the girls come from Rocky Mountain Pro, even though Daisy is a hometown girl. She travels, but she is from Springs. But right. Most of the talent comes from Rocky Mountain Pro, and I'm grateful to have them. And I'm trying to build myself because Matt's got an amazing program over there. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, it's the way it should be, in my opinion. And the goal is to make something like that in our area.
Oh, great. So. Well, and, you know, one thing I think you may have missed is you sometimes get some great outside talent of the area that come in. And I think a lot of people are from the, like, Utah area. So tell us about how you managed to get some of those big names that people may have heard about.
Yes. I'm very lucky, and I did completely forget, and shame on me for that, because these guys are just top quality. And who I'm talking about in particular is the Brother Smith 12 gauge order, and of course Marty the Moth Casals, who goes by Marty the Moth Martinez from Lucha Underground. Those guys, I met Marty at a Lucha Libre and Laugh show, refereed with him. Marty is just a complete professional. I mean, this guy is the best, seriously. Good guy. He wants to help people succeed. And so he's been bringing those people from the Utah area. Those guys obviously know what they are doing. We got the Brother Smith, we got the 12 gauge order, and they have just been, I mean, you've seen them in action. They're ridiculous. And yeah, so I've been very blessed to have that. And so, like I said, once again, CSW is definitely a conglomeration. We don't have a school at this time, but we are working on that. Of course, it takes time and money. But we're working on it. And, going back to the Utah guys, it was, the connection with Marty, and, you know, that's he said, I got some guys. So I said, bring them on. And it's been a good thing ever since. So.
Oh yeah. I can definitely agree. I think for me personally, my favorite fun, talent to see actually are the Brothers Smith. Cause they're just so fun. It's probably, I would say probably the most interactive people, because they've got the waves and they got the great you know, clap along song, intro music. They're fun, and they're great guys too. I've talked to them a lot after the show, and you know, at intermission as well. So they're two great guys. I love them.
Absolutely. And you know, the thing is, we've had people asking for them. Unfortunately, they're not going to be at the next show coming up because I believe they're going to be on seminary or something like that. But
right.
But no, we're definitely going to have them back. You know, it's those guys are ridiculous. Like you said, the crowd interaction, it's top of the line. And those guys are going places. So next time they come, you got to check them out. Catch them wherever they're at. Yeah. Definitely.
So I'm going to backtrack just a little bit. You mentioned something about the San Antonio area, and that's where you're from, correct?
Yes, sir. Okay. Born and raised.
Yeah. So did you run a promotion, or did you work a promotion? I didn't quite catch that. Or did you just know of, or what was the story there?
Right. I used to run. Oh, no. I never ran an organization while I was living in San Antonio. I was part of about, I would say, maybe four or five different organizations. We have the first one I ever went to was BBW. We have Blockbuster Wrestling, Victory Pro Wrestling, Texas Wrestling Entertainment, Texas Wrestling Association. Worked up north for Texas Championship Wrestling. Of course, you know, Texas is awful in themselves, so all the organizations have Texas in the name. But I worked for a few organizations. I was actually a play-by-play guy. and not to boast, I feel, you know, one of the best play-by-play guys in the business. Ever since I was a kid, I'd always do commentating. I love commentating. I would turn the TV down and commentate basketball and, you know, stuff like that. And so I was a backing up a little bit before, I was a stand-up comedian. I did stand-up comedy for 2 years, and one of my buddies had a was the promoter and owner of a wrestling organization in New Braunfels. And so I came in as a play-by-play guy. Word got out, and I actually got to go all over the state of Texas and get paid and, you know, have a really good time doing it, calling matches all over Texas. And you know, like I said, I've seen good promotions where they pay guys. I've seen promotions where guys don't expect to get paid. I've seen promotions where guys say they're going to get paid and they don't. And so, you know, that was always a big inspiration, because I always respect the wrestlers. I've trained a little bit. I referee. I do my little gimmick, but I would never call myself a full-fledged wrestler. But you know, I respect the guys. I respect the business. You know, I mean, these guys put their lives on the line, you know, for the people, and to see them not get paid and to see them mistreated, it burns me. It burned me so bad. And even when I hear about that now, it just, you know, how can people sleep at night, you know, when they do that? So, never ran an organization, in Texas. Many people thought I should have, started as a play-by-play guy, even though now I don't believe in play-by-play anymore, which is funny. You know, because like I said, that's how I broke into the business as it. I think it distracts from the wrestling. You know, it's just a third wheel, in my opinion. So, but yeah, I never ran an organization. CSW's been the first, and thankfully, it's been going very well. Very blessed.
Okay. So, did you grow up as a wrestling fan? You know, in your childhood. You know, if so, you know, who was your favorites to watch?
Right on. Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, I have this theory that all little boys love wrestling. That you put 10 little boys in front of wrestling, and all 10 of them are going to go crazy. You know what I'm saying? It's just a thing. So, yeah, my brother and I used to watch wrestling all the time. My dude was Bret the Hitman Hart. Oh. That was my guy, man. Oh, the Excellence of Execution, man. That was my dude always. And even when, you know, Shawn Michaels and all DX came, I was never mad. Because being from San Antonio, Texas, that's the hometown hero. Right. Shawn Michaels is my favorite wrestler now. Of all time, you know, Bret's, you know, real close underneath him. Yeah, I grew up watching wrestling. Actually got to go to the taping of, I don't know if you remember this or not, but it's when Yokozuna fought Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and he squashed him on his chest. He bonsai dropped him like 4 or 5 times, and put him off in a gurney, and it was a big old deal, and Hacksaw was out for months, and that's where they ran storyline like that. But I was at that taping. My dad won tickets. I was like right on the bar. Okay, I got to high five Tatanka. I got to touch the Undertaker, who freaked me out at the time. The main event was Ric Flair versus Bret Hart. Got to see Papa Shango versus Yokozuna. No, it was Undertaker versus Yokozuna. Papa Shango was there. Razor Ramon was there. And this is back in, you know, the early 90s, man, where I'm talking about. Razor Ramon came out and he got plummeted. I mean, plummeted with old discarded soda cups, nacho trays. I mean, it was ridiculous, man. I mean, this was back in the day when WWF was, you know, I guess security wasn't what it is now. Or something, man. But,
right.
Yeah. Love watching wrestling. I stopped watching wrestling. Around the 2000 area, when I was in high school, around the whole Scotty Tuhati Rikishi thing, when they went into all that area. And to be honest with you, I didn't watch wrestling for about 12 years. No, maybe about 15 years. I didn't watch wrestling at all. I just saw things here and there. And so, like the whole CM Punk era, I missed that whole thing. That's one thing I regret completely. I love watching tape on that. But, you know, like I said, when I got back into comedy, that's when I got back into wrestling, and that's when, you know, my boys got into it again. That's when I started following WWE and, you know, New Japan and everything like that. But for 15 years, I didn't watch wrestling at all, which kind of helps me, I think, because I try and write storyline with CSW a little more old school, a little more cartoonish, if you will. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, but it's got that 80s old school wrestling feel, I believe, in my storyline. And that's just because I didn't watch for like 15 years.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, I think that's actually a kind of a common theme for like a lot of us. We watch when we're younger. High school, we kind of got out of it because we got busy with, you know, school and girls and whatever else, you know.
And then we
you know, things figured out, and then we's like, oh, let me see what's going on with this thing I used to watch before.
Right. Definitely. And it's, and you know, it's come full circle, man. You know, me and my boys, we really didn't bond too much. You know, they did what they did, and they watched Legos and, you know, Pokemon and stuff like that. But then once we all got involved in the wrestling, you know, it's really something we could all watch and sit and talk about and be excited about and everything like that. And so, you know, it helped bring my family together, which was a good thing.
Yeah,
definitely love wrestling. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, so you mentioned your sons and stuff. They're my understanding they're actually involved in Colorado Springs Wrestling too. Is that correct? They're help out with things.
They're my little gophers for
okay.
Sure. I tell them all the time. You know, I was like, you know, you're going to take over this business one day, and that's what I'd like. On the other side, you know, if they go out and pursue college, and you know, my sons and you know, super brain, and both of them are. But, you know, if they want to go do what they want to do, it'd be nice to have them take over the business one day. But yeah, exactly. They love it. They like being involved. They don't like setting up the ring all the time. I'll tell you that.
I don't think anybody does. Even the
Right.
talent, even the talent, I don't think does too. But it's something you got to do.
Beast. It's a beast for sure. Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
But it is a family affair. It definitely is a family affair.
Oh, cool. So you also referee in Colorado Springs Wrestling as well.
Yes.
Tell me about that. How many,
Okay.
was it more of a necessity at the beginning or?
No, because I had been refereeing at Primo's before that.
Okay.
And so check this out. Like, you have no idea. Like I said, I broke into the business as a play-by-play guy, right? I'd be
Okay.
on the mic. I couldn't get my foot in the water to save my life up here in Colorado. Nobody would give me a shot because there were four. I mean, there's no vacancies, right?
Yeah.
So no vacancies, nothing happened. Then one day, Nick Gossert messages me. He says, "Hey, I'm not going to be at the Primo show. Do you know any referees?" And I was like, "I can referee. Been
Yeah.
reffing for years. Come on." I was doing never ref to match in my life. And so what I did is I got my happy stuff. I went and bought a shirt, bought some gear, bought my knee pads, studied tape. And at this time, I'd been in the business a few years already, so I know how it works. I've been watching wrestling my whole life. I know how referees act, but I did brush up on my skills a little more. Went to my first show, which was the Halloween show 2 years ago at Primo's. Ref my first match, which was Ultimate Warrior versus Pee Wee Herman. And
Right.
did a great job. Nobody knew. Nobody had a clue. Actually, when I told people it was my first show, when I told people it was my first match, they didn't believe me. So I think I did a good job on that one. But that's how I broke into refereeing. Seriously, never reffed a day in my life. With Colorado Springs Wrestling, wasn't really a necessity. It was just kind of maybe I wanted to show my referees what I wanted and what I needed from them. A couple of shows ago, it was a necessity. But at this time, I have I have referees. I have Richard and Kelly, Kelly, who's heavily involved with Rocky Mountain Pro, coming to ref, and those are two of my steady guys, and I always know that I can count on them, and they give me quality work. They give me what I want as well. Definitely.
Yeah,
I
well,
also have another free character. I don't know if you heard about that guy, but
what, I'm sorry, what was that?
I also have another referee character. I don't know if you've heard about that guy or
Oh, okay. That's what I just was going to ask you.
not.
Yeah, the referee character that you play, I was going to say he kind of goes all over the board with his refereeing and he's you want to
Cholo.
tell yeah. You want to tell the listeners a little bit about that referee, about what he, what's going on with him
Sure. Well, the
and
referee you're talking about is called Jefito, and in Spanish translated, Jefe means boss, and whenever you put a ito at the end of it, it's like small, like little bitty, so it's like little boss, I guess. Jefito is actually a collaboration of every Mexican that I've ever met in my entire life, to be honest with you.
okay.
And he's from the south side of San Antonio, total cholo, fresh out the joint. Doing sits in jail all the time. And he's a bad guy referee. He's a rudo referee. In Lucha Libre style, they have the technicals or the good guys and the rudos or the bad guys. And so what Jefito does is he goes out there and does everything he can to help the bad guys win. Whenever there's a the bad guy's pin, he counts as fast as possible. One, two, three. And when the good guys are on a pin, Jefito will look outside the crowd and talk to them, and the good guy will be, having him rolled up and waiting for a count, and he'll do everything in his power. I mean, one Mississippi, two Mississippi, and just do everything he can to make sure the bad guys win. And he's kind of a jerk, but he has a good time while doing
Yeah.
it.
So
And you don't
like,
really see that. Well, I mean, you don't. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but
go
like, you
ahead.
don't really see that up here. Down south, it's very prominent. Where I came from, in San Antonio, you'll see that a lot, and you'll see referees who have their own little shtick and gimmick like that, and arguing with the crowd and being super slow to get down, and stuff like that. And so that's where I kind of I drew that inspiration from there as well.
Well, no, I was going to follow up with that. This is actually something that I learned fairly recently about, you got good referees and bad referees, especially with Lucha Libre, the actual real Lucha Libre style. How, and so I've heard like some talent talk about that, and they say, okay, who's refereeing my match? And so they got cued in that they need to find out whether they've got a good referee or a bad referee. How, Does the talent know that already when they're going to have a match by this particular referee in Colorado Springs Wrestling? And what's their reaction to it? I mean, what are they like? Oh God, what, you know? Is it, you know? What's how's this match going to go with this happening?
Sure. Yeah, because I do my best to try and put out promos, little promo posters out there on social media to, you know, show people the matchups. And then, you know, I'll tell them we'll have special guest referees, stuff like that. Uh-huh. To be completely honest with you, the response has been extremely positive. I haven't had one of my local guys, you know, say, oh, okay, or this and that. They always have a big smile on their face because they know that they're going to have a good time while doing it. And it's been really positive. As far as I know, I could be completely wrong. You know, nobody's going to tell the boss, hey, this and that. But as far as my experience, it's been very positive. They actually are looking forward to it whenever I do the Cholo character, for sure.
Oh, great. Yeah, and you got to, of course, work with Little Cholo from he's from Lucha Underground, yeah. And the most recent one I can remember was, it was Curtis Cole versus Zuma, and the referee flip-flopped during the match. That was kind of wild.
yeah, that was I was thinking about that as a good little left turn, because I've been taking bumps more and more lately.
Yeah,
because it's fun. I mean, I want, it's a little exciting. So I told the guys, I was like, all right, how about we do this, you know, we'll throw, you know, you'll hit me accidentally, we'll flip-flop, and then we'll just get it on that. And they were super excited. They were like, yeah, you know, let's do it. The crowd ate it up. You know, going back to that, Curtis Cole, Zuma, of course, another product of Rocky Mountain Pro. Curtis Cole is probably the most polite, professional wrestler I have ever come in contact with in my entire life. Everything is yes sir, no sir. Everything is absolutely whatever you want. Sure. As the majority of the guys are, but he's, you know, and like I say, the gap in between, you know, would not be very far. But Curtis Cole is just a, you know, it's so respectful. It's just a pleasure working with him, and the guy's talented as well. Talented as heck. I mean, you know, Rocky Mountain Pro once again putting out a hot product. So
right,
that's what you get with them. Sure.
Okay. So here's a weird thing that I've kind of noticed, of course, because I go to pretty much everything that I can. So in Denver, so people that don't know, Colorado Springs is south of Denver, about an hour or so. Yeah. So what's weird to me is very strange that a lot of the guys that are faces in Denver are heels in Colorado Springs, and then vice versa. Was this done on purpose when Colorado Springs Wrestling came about?
Right.
Or is it more to get the talent to, you know, another podcast I used to lend to used to call this called being a bi wrestler. You need to learn how to work face and work heel. Is that kind of right. More of this? That's for us to see if we can help grow these characters, help grow these wrestlers, these talents, you know, personally and professionally.
Right. that is definitely part of it, I would say. But to be honest with you, like, let's just say the Curtis Cole thing in particular. I had no idea that he was a face. I always thought he was a bad guy. You know, but I hadn't seen any episodes of, you know, it's like when I just got here. Well, no, actually, you know, as of recent. And I just always thought he was a bad guy. To me, he just looks like a bad guy. You know, he looks like he'd be pompous and arrogant. And that's why I say, but once again, you know, one of the most respectful guys you ever meet in your life. And so I just told him, you know, I was like, dude, I was like, I need you to heal it up out there. And I just felt he looked like a bad guy.
Okay.
In my opinion, I just felt like I could get that arrogant little snot nose, like, oh, you just want to strangle his neck. And he has ran with it. I mean, the crowd hates him. I mean, oh my God, you know, and he's been involving his girlfriend and like having her turn into a table and stepping on her up to the ring, and right. Oh my God, it gets people so upset. Like my friend saying is that his wife was like actually like literally legit upset, you know, because he was doing that. But you know, on the other side of it, I've seen him interact with her, and he absolutely adores her. He worships her.
Yeah.
You know, it's really cute to see them together, and she's a great girl as well. But you know, they play it up, man, and Curtis knows what he's doing. You know, like I say, he's a natural.
Yeah,
he's been doing really well.
I was gonna say I actually do know both of them personally, and then when I, you know, when I saw him for the first time down there, and after the match during intermission, I pulled him off to the side, or he pulled me off to the side, and I started talking to him, because you know it was a new promotion for him, so he wasn't, you know, I think he was a little bit unsure about, okay, it's intermission, you know, time to interact with the fans and that kind of stuff. But I talked to him and he was like, oh, I don't know, what I've never worked heel and I didn't know what to do. And I said, I think you've got it. And like you had just said, Chris, he has exploded with his heel character. It is just gone crazy. I mean, it's amazing. And I tell him, I said, you are drawing heat. So, and that's when you know when you've got it, whether you're a face or a bad guy, if you're getting a reaction of some sort, excuse me, that you got your character down.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. And I completely agree with you. I've said that for years. It's not about a good reaction. It's not about a bad reaction. It's about straight getting a reaction. You know, that's all you care about. I kind of like when the Undertaker streak lost. Of course, it was a bad reaction, but good Lord, that's what you want, right? And you need that emotional explosion, if you will. You know,
right?
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. So, being the promoter and owner, what have been your favorite memories so far of your, you know, 1 year old promotion, about like, you know, professionally working with certain talent? Sure. Any kind of favorite matches that you've witnessed or even been participated in as the referee?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. Well, participated in with the referee, like you said, it had to have been Curtis Cole and Zuma, that last one. That one was freaking fun. You know, especially doing the turn in between the match. That was really fun. That was sweet. Let me see here. Going out and promoting and working with the radio station. I work with Blaze 98.5 here in Colorado Springs. Okay. Big Mike, who is our general manager, has a show from 5 to 7 called you know, the Rush Hour Jam, and we're welcome to be on there whenever we want. I'm talking whenever we want. And so we've been going on the radio, having fun. Polish Prince will come out and he'll, you know, talk and gripe about Americans and women and this and that, and like they'll be kind of arguing on it. And we actually had this lady call in and try and fight him.
Oh boy.
So that was pretty funny. They got him called in, putting up posters. One of the greatest memory, I think, is going to be the first one. We had 11 matches. Good Lord.
Oh,
yes, yeah. Definitely. And then this last October, we had 11 matches. We ran like 3.5-hour show. And that's my problem. I overbook. I book everybody because they're all my friends, and I want everyone to do good, you know.
Right.
So I want to try and give everybody a spot. But that also runs into my pocketbook, let me tell you. but the first match or the first show, you know, we had Pat Tanaka, WCW legend, WWE legend. We had Royce Isaacs, Moonshine Mantel, Sammy Six Guns, former NXT, Mike Seidel. That was the first show. You see here, like I said, I've had 3 members of Lucha Underground, 1 former WWE Cruiserweight Champion and Tag Team Champion in Paul London. Mm-hmm. Marty the Moth Martinez, Little Cholo. I mean, these are 3 guys from from this TV show that I used to watch like 2 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Me and my kids, we used to just watch it in the living room, and now, you know, I know them personally. I can honestly call them my friends. Driving around Colorado Springs with Paul London, that was fun.
I'll bet. Tell you.
That was super fun. And then, you know, Marty, like I said, Marty is super cool. Little Cholo driving, because I fly these guys into Denver because it's cheaper.
Yeah.
And so I always have to drive them back and just sitting there talking with them, you know, and picking their brain and, you know, sitting talking with Little Cholo for an hour. And us both, you know, complaining about child support and our exes. That was fun. it's just been surreal, to be honest with you, man. It's just been surreal to be successful, we're consistently drawing about 250 people. Only about one time we hit over 3, and the first show we had like 450. But we're consistently drawing numbers, and it's been a blessing. And you know, we work hard. I work hard, and there's a reason for it. You know, that's why we've been successful. But lots of good memories, man.
Right.
Super good memories.
Awesome. Sure. All right. So tell us what's in the future for CSW.
Go. All right. Well, this Saturday, we're going to have our first show at the Plainfield Sports Bar. It's located right in the heart of the city at Austin Bluffs and Academy, right by the Vanguard and the Mi Mexico restaurants in that back little shopping area. A huge space. It's the first time that people are going to be able to enjoy adult beverages, i.e., they're going to have a full bar there. Since we've been running at Hillside Community Center, they don't allow alcohol, of course, because it belongs to the city.
Right.
So now this is the first time people are going to get to enjoy a cold beverage while watching. I think it's going to be a great thing. All active duty and veterans are free, with proof, of course. It's bar fights. It's going to be November 11th, 11/11. We're going to start an hour earlier at 6 o'clock. All ages show. All ages show. They have this law in Colorado that under 21 you can be inside a sports bar environment until 9 o'clock. So we're going to start earlier. All ages show. Welcome. Still a family show. You know, no curse words, no blood. Just high quality wrestling. Nothing
Oh,
but.
awesome. Well, great. Well, I really appreciated your time. So, but if people wanted to, in the meantime, follow up with Colorado Springs Wrestling, where can they find you? Like your website, social media, etc.?
Sure. Well, first off, on our website is www.coloradospringswrestling.com, all one word, coloradospringswrestling.com, just like the organization. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook. We're off Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, excuse me. Constantly updating things. The phone number is on the website. You can email us, you can message the page. We'll get back to you. You know, go online, you know, get your tickets for the show. It's gonna be $10 online, 15 at the door. Front row is $15, $20 at the door. Yeah, you follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter for
Okay,
sure.
we're great. Well, I can tell just from personal experience, it's well worth more than the price of admission. So, if you guys, listeners, are anywhere in the Colorado area, heck, it's in Colorado Springs. Drive up from New Mexico if you want. I mean, it's definitely worth it. So, well, Chris,
Awesome.
thank you for coming on to the podcast, and I appreciate your time. And we'll have to have you on once again.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate it very much. Thank
Okay.
you.
All right. Well, thanks, and have a great day.
All right, man. Appreciate you.
And once again, I'd like to thank Chris for coming on to the podcast, The View from the Fourth Row, owner and promoter of one of my local promotions, Colorado Springs Wrestling, just south of the Denver, Colorado area. Like I said, it is well worth more than the price of admission. So if you guys have enjoyed The View from the Fourth Row, my podcast here. We have other great shows on the brand new Trending Topics Network, which we are a part of. And you can listen to all these other great shows by subscribing to them in iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, or any other podcast catcher choice that you may have out there. And some of these other shows that we have Lou Chat, we have Odds On, we have my other show, What's on Fight, where myself and Finn Fish randomly review all the great boxing, wrestling, MMA shows that you can view on the Fight TV app. We also have the Spanish Announce Table, who has previously slammed your brain through a week's world of wrestling news, the European Uppercut Podcast, Wrestling Cheers, Hanging with Heavy, CFL Easy Picks, Legends on Siren Radio, the Eurovision Showcase, the Tuts Experience, All Beer Inside, STFU, TTN at the Movies, Tim and Tom, Drive Time with Cal Valentine, and Chill, Squabblecast, and so much, much more. So, once again, thank you all for listening. That has been my view, not from the cheap seats, not from the most expensive seats, but from the fourth row. Thank you.